You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Week two, and you know it gets weird early on in the NFL season. We at the Bet Slippin' Podcast are down for some wagering weirdness. Hopefully you tailed some of our handicaps in week one, because man, did Eston and I crush it. And hopefully we keep the money rolling in this week. Eston, how do you feel about your week one performance?
For the show, great. 4-1 on the show, plus 2.97 units. Feels great. Wish I had followed that advice and only that advice. Got a little more sporadic at the window, the actual window, than the window on this show than I wanted to, should have. But hey, early season, lessons learned, and good to go and make some real money in week two.
Yeah, I was going to say the good thing about how I approached last week is that I put all my bets in early so I wouldn't like change my mind or get cold feet when the time came, right? But then my only loser is because I got the worst of the number and I didn't wait until closer to kickoff. And well, I'll talk about that a little bit more later, but I had a pretty profitable week. I was 3-2 on this podcast, 4-1 in the circa contest, and killed it on the side bets, killed it on my totals, and just had a blast. I love grinding the NFL season. This stuff has not even worked to me, and I'm excited to talk about the week two slate with you. Last week, we had Minty Betts from Yahoo Sports on. She did an awesome job. Shout out to her. Check her out on Twitter and social media to find some more of her stuff. But it's just me and you. Back to just the two of us. So it just gives us more time to riff. You know, we don't have to let anyone else in on our handicap and genius.
Yeah, there you go. More airtime for yourself. And yeah, one more thing on week one. I got killed on totals. I did fine again, or did well against the spread. Called a couple money line upsets. Absolutely killed on totals. So I'm going to lean on you for those bets this week. Congrats on yourself doing well. But yeah, early week season lesson is to bet fewer totals. But yeah, I'm looking forward to week two. Week one and week two are always my favorite to bet, because week one, you can just bet against the teams that everyone thinks is going to have a good season, or bet with the teams that everyone wants to fade. And then week two, you just got to fade all the overreactions, because some of these lines this week clearly overreacting as well. So just stick to what you thought going into week one, and usually do pretty well in week two before things start to level out in week three and beyond, and it gets a little tougher.
Yeah, the last couple of years, I've just stunk out the gate, so I'm happy that this year's week one turned out a little bit better for me. I might do a little Matador Ole with you if you throw any totals my way. Last week, I went 2-0 in totals, but I usually don't play totals. I just saw a couple like layup cupcake ones, specifically the Jets at the Panthers. I was in the circa last week to enter the Circa Million after we recorded this podcast. And I saw a whole bunch of like sports betting producers and broadcasters whose podcasts that I listened to. One of them, the Deep Dive, I approached one of the guys, and we had talked before on Twitter, so it wasn't like as much of like a stranger just approaching him. But I was this close, because this guy picked the over, really like the over in the Panthers and Jets. And I was this close just telling him, I'm oppo, dude. I can't believe you're willing to bet that the Jets and Panthers are going to combine for more than 6 touchdowns. Like, in no world should you be betting that. So I feel as though I got a little bit lucky. I mean, I handicapped the hell out of some totals, but truthfully, it's tough to get there to the win in the window with any totals this week. But I don't know, maybe I'll feel differently once we go through the slate, which, I don't know, we're kind of beating around the bush. You want to just jump into it?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. So Week two is going to start off on Thursday Night Football. We got the, well, actually, I'll let you take it over from here if you got all your notes and your sheets in front of you ready to go.
Okay, this is the formula that worked for us both last week, so may as well stick to it, I guess. Thursday Night Football, New York Giants 0-1 against the Washington Football Team 0-1. Just in case this matchup couldn't have gotten less exciting, both teams had to start with a loss. Giants lost 27-13 to Denver Broncos at home, and Washington lost 20-16 at home to the Los Angeles Chargers. Two super exciting games, more of the same in store this week. Giants are plus 145 underdogs on the road. Washington minus 180 favorite. Washington minus 3.5 points at minus 102. And New York plus 3.5 minus 122. These lines, of course, from Tipico Sportsbook, our partner. More on them in a little while. Total for those who want to do it, not me, 40.5. Still feels high. Minus 112 on the over, minus 108 on the under. Known Giants super fan, Jeff Clark, talk us into paying any attention to this on what's going to be a great Thursday night.
I can't really sell you on the game itself. I will say that it is a lot sexier than the week three Thursday night game, which is the Carolina Panthers at the Houston Texans.
Oh, right? God.
At least we have a division matchup here in week two with a little bit of stakes. I mean, heck, Washington's defending NFC East champions and New York Giants are up there until week 17 last year. So just based on that, there's should be a little more excitement for this game than next week's game, but
they just get these matchups out of the way early while everyone's just so excited about football being back that they don't care how bad these games are.
I think there's a little bit of that. I wonder if it's just like a game Roger Goodell and like the NFL headquarters are playing. Like what will they watch? Will they watch anything? Yeah. Can we just give them anything? Let's do Alabama and Houston Texans one day. Let's see if they do.
Watch this one.
Actually, suckers. That would probably be one of the most viewed regular season contests of the year. But yeah. I don't really get it. I would just assume that like it's NFL's king. They can throw anything out there. And there is obviously, you know, that's the whole point of that's the fun of gambling in the NFL is all the randomness that comes with it. So like maybe the Giants were 1-0 and the Washington football team was going to be 1-0 and you have an interesting division match between the Northeast, the popular Northeast teams. Clearly that's something we have here, but we spent too much time hyping up the stinker of a matchup. And because it's such a stinker, I'm taking the 3.5 with the Giants. I'm obviously a homer, so maybe don't rush to the window for this one. But like I said to you in our little pre-production meeting, I'm taking plus 3.5 with either team here. Both these teams suck. I can spend the next 15 minutes tearing down both organizations or both teams. It's not even worth it right now. But the Giants have won 5 straight. They've covered 4 of the last 5. They were 6-1 as against the spread road underdogs, or 6-1 against the spread as road underdogs last year. These teams were neck and neck in DVOA. I guess you could say Washington's performance last week was a little bit better, but not really. They lost. They didn't. There was no game-winning drive or possible game-winning drive at the end of that game, and they lost their starting quarterback, who everyone was excited about, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, Giants. They had second half drives versus Denver in week one that ended without points on Denver's 13, Denver's 6, Denver's 21. So the Giants were able to move the ball against a defense I project to be better than the Washington football team. Also, you know I'm a huge Teddy Bridgewater fan. Maybe you're not. You feel however you want about Teddy Bridgewater, but if you look at his first week numbers and the advanced stats, he killed us. This dude balled out. He was first in QBR. Second in EPA over completion over expectation composite, which is like this new like thing that I found on some random NFL charting website on the internet. He was the 4th highest graded quarterback by PFF. On the other hand, Heinicke, I think that's how you say it, he's 23rd QBR, 11th in EPA over completion percentage over expectation, which is pretty interesting because he did pretty good, obviously, in that stat. But the 30th graded PFF quarterback. So I do think Taylor Heinicke, even though he does bring some sort of a mobile possibility to Washington's offense, that there is going to be a downgrade. Also, I guess some trends I can throw your way over the last 5 years. Favorites of 3 or more points in September are 40% against the spread, 27-40-1 against the spread is the record. Ron Rivera teams, of course, are in Carolina. Back when he coached Carolina, were 2-6 overall and 1-7 against the spread on Thursday Night Football. He was 0-4 against the spread when favored anywhere from 3 to minus 3.5. Also, you're going to hear me talk about this and a lot in this podcast, and I mentioned at the top the weirdness of Week 2. I found this stat from at GDog5000, Gils Gallant, who I think represents, I don't know, fantasy something, whatever. But he said 7 NFL teams lost by double digits in Week 1. And since 2004, 60% of the teams that lost by double digits in Week 1 go on to cover the spread in Week 2. You talked about it. People overreact. They overreact to double-digit losses. Giants lost by double digits here. And getting 3.5 is just too much. If Heinicke can do what Teddy Two Gloves did to the Giants, then I'll happily lose this bet. But I'm taking the 3.5. And just to be objective, I would take it either way. Like, if Washington was 3.5, like, okay.
Yeah, that's the best point to make on this game, only because of the hook. If this falls to 3, it's an absolute stay away, I think, no matter which side you want to be on right now. Washington, maybe, like, Taylor Heinicke played in a playoff game last year and didn't look bad in a playoff game last year, looked good in his limited action last week. Yeah, he does have that mobile aspect, and you know, I still love that immediate supporting cast in Washington, at least. It's not deep, but Terry McLaurin's the number one receiver. Antonio Gibson's the number one running back. And Logan Thomas is a number one tight end, for whatever that's worth. And this team's going to go as far as it's going to go because of the defense. Pass rush is probably similar to the Broncos. The secondary is considerably weaker than Denver's. So I think that's going to be the difference here. But Daniel Jones is bad. Saquon Barkley's bad. The Giants' offensive line is horrible. It's a stay away for me officially, but I don't have a take on this game.
Hey, that's pick fine.
Against you in spirit.
I will say though, because I'm with you, the Giants O-line is bad. It got all the publicity this offseason. Andrew Thomas didn't allow a quarterback pressure. Andrew Thomas, the Giants left tackle, played pretty well. Shane Lemieux, who's actually, I think, injured this week, was awesome at guard. Or excuse me, Nick Gates, who's not injured. Shane Lemieux is injured. Shane Lemieux played pretty good, but Nick Gates played awesome at center. And again, this is against a defensive line that I don't think any defensive line is better than Washington, but like Denver at least could come to the argument with some points, you know? So they held up last week. It was really just Teddy Bridgewater was brilliant. And like, whatever. Like he was, I mean, his on-target percentage, his bad throw percentage, PFF grade. Like, there's nothing that would suggest Teddy Bridgewater wasn't brilliant. So, again, you know, to put a button on my end of it, if Heinicke can do that, whatever, I'll lose. I don't care.
Okay, moving into the Sunday slate, 1 o'clock games. Las Vegas Raiders visit the Pittsburgh Steelers in the battle of 1-0 teams. Pittsburgh, a -230 moneyline favorite at home. Las Vegas +180 on the road, +4.5 at -107 for the Raiders, -4.5, -115 for Pittsburgh. Seemingly low total here of 46.5, -115 on the over, -105 on the under. Pittsburgh came from behind to beat the Buffalo Bills 23-16, and the Raiders also came from behind to win 33-27 in overtime, and they're home opener with fans over the Baltimore Ravens. So both teams looked better than season expectations. Super Bowl odds here. The Raiders entered the season at +6,000. They're down to +5,000 with the win. And Pittsburgh opened at +4,000, also down to +3,000. Pittsburgh at home, I think, for me, is the pick, an easy pick. Ben Roethlisberger showed that he's good enough early in the season. This team, the Pittsburgh defense, going to give that a pretty big edge over Baltimore. So that's a tougher test for Las Vegas. And Las Vegas defense isn't as good as Buffalo's. So I think Pittsburgh playing an easier opponent, Las Vegas playing potentially a tougher opponent. I'm going to go with the home team -4.5.
Word. This line isn't sketchy to you. So Steelers. Too big? No. Steelers are one of the most popular teams in the NFL. They started, I think, their first 11 games, maybe 12 last season, undefeated. So it, and they won the division, probably a top three toughest division in the NFL, right? AFC West, NFC West, and then AFC North, I think would be fair. Mm-hmm. They won that division. So it's not like unthinkable for them to make make an AFC title game run. If they were to beat the Chiefs, I'd be pretty surprised, or even the Bills in a playoff game. But it's not unthinkable for them to have a playoff run kind of this season. And they just beat an AFC favorite in the Bills as 6.5-point road underdogs on the road. Raiders are on short rest after an emotional Monday Night Football come-from-behind win in their first game in front of a Vegas crowd, traveling across country for an early East Coast start. And the Steelers are only, was it 5.5-ish? Was that what it is on Tipico?
4.5 right now.
It's 4.5 right now.
Oh, no, sorry, it is 5.5. Okay. It's 4.5 this morning, up to 5.5 already.
To me, like, and I most gambling sports gambling stuff I've heard, people seem to think the Raiders got dumb lucky on Monday Night Football. Maybe they did, but I love the Vegas Carr and Gruden vibe. Carr, I thought, played amazing last game. Showed a lot of toughness. Obviously, it was an easy point against Baltimore's defense, which was a little banged up. There was a scene a tweet that I saw where Gruden went over to the black hole in Vegas and like fired up the crowd. And then he turns around, and as he's walking back to the sidelines, he's got to fight back tears because he's just so pumped up. I love Gruden, and I think he's going to be like in these guys' ears talking about, like, back in my day, the Raiders and Steelers used to mean something. It used to mean something to come into Pittsburgh and play these guys. Now, last night it was a pros versus Joes game with a slight majority of the money on the Raiders and like 2/3 of the bets on the Steelers. It's since flipped. Now both sides of the market are on the Raiders, so I don't have that angle as much, but Big Ben sucked. Big Ben was terrible. Dead last by PFF, 26th QBR, 23rd DVOA, second worst bad throw percentage, second worst on target percentage. And this Vegas defensive line, I don't think, is any joke. And I think they're gonna own Pittsburgh's offensive line. Max Crosby was an absolute monster on Monday Night Football, right? And he played against the right tackle, former right tackle, the Steelers. I think they upgraded, but it's still a weak spot. Their whole offensive line is a weak spot. And I think Crosby's just going to detonate the right side of that offensive line and just be in the backfield all day. They don't have a strong enough run game, I think, to really bludgeon Vegas like Baltimore did. And Big Ben's just not going to have enough time to throw the ball in the field. I like Raiders defense to swarm the ball as fast as they can and reduce any yak. This sounds ridiculous, but this would be probably a best bet if Richie Incognito is definitely going to play. And like, finally, there's not much difference in these teams. So even though Steelers got like a very impressive win because the Raiders got an impressive win. Steelers are 16th in total DVOA after week one. Raiders are 17th in week one DVOA. And while I'm here, and I mentioned DVOA twice, I know a lot of people on the internet, or regardless, sharp people too, are saying, I don't pay attention to DVOA until week five or midway through the season, which makes sense. I get that. However, like PFF, Football Outsiders is grading every single play. They're looking at every single play, and it's a small sample size. So if they're grading every play from each team, I do think there is some validity in those grades. Maybe I'm crazy. If so, I'll lose on the Raiders 5.5, but that's where I'm at on it.
I'm going to go with the Steelers, even at the -5.5. Of course, I did like the -4.5 a lot better this morning, but got John Gruden making a West Coast, East Coast trip here. We know how much he He hates these cross-country flights, the short week as well. Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger isn't as good as he looked in the early part of last season. I think the crowd in Pittsburgh obviously going to be a factor, as it was for Las Vegas on Monday. Yeah, that's the big thing for me, is just the short week for the Raiders. I think that's not being factored enough here by you. This line here is big. I'm going to side with the internet people against you here, and I'm not going to worry too much about these advanced stats until we get a little more leveling off. And, you know, both teams did play presumed AFC title contenders. So yeah. But I think Buffalo pretty obviously is the better one right now, especially considering all the Ravens injuries shortly before the start of the season. I think that factored in a lot. This is a Pittsburgh team that's a lot more cohesive on offense, at least. And the defense is much stronger than Baltimore. So I'm going to go Steelers grudgingly at -5.5, kicking myself over not betting that this morning. Moving on to the next one, Los Angeles Rams, another team making a West Coast, East Coast trip. 1-0, taking on the 0-1 Indianapolis Colts Sunday at 1:00. Rams are -200 road favorites, Indy +160 at home, Indy +3.5 underdog, -108, Los Angeles -3.5, -102. 48.5 is the projected total, excuse me. -108 on the over, -112 on the under. Los Angeles look like the team we thought they were going to be coming into the season. Indianapolis, you know, just got manhandled by the Seahawks. Carson Wentz, a long way to go to get back to what he once was. You know, part of that is the training camp, preseason injuries and COVID issues. And he doesn't have a whole lot of experience with this team. His receiving core stinks. It's going to be a run first team if they're playing well. Can't really be a run first team against this Rams team, especially as we saw on Sunday night, a Rams team that can get up pretty darn quickly. I'm on the Rams -3.5 here, and I'd be willing to bet a larger number. I think up to 5.5, 6.5.
Okay. I'm just going to kind of spoil the ending here on my handicap. I'm passing with a heavy lean on the Colts +4. I'm just concerned about their injuries. Both tackles are questionable right now, and then Xavier Rhodes is also questionable. Also, the Rams are my Super Bowl pick, and Indy is just a huge unknown for me at this point. After handicapping them and looking at them the whole summer, I was high on them, and then Carson Wentz had that injury, and then the COVID stuff, and just all the turmoil around the team, I've cooled off on them, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were to cover the number here. This is a huge, huge overreaction spot, though. The preseason line, or a couple weeks ago, the Colts were favored 1.5, and right now the Rams are favored 4, right? Or did you say 3.5?
3.5. That's what we have right now at WGO.
It's a 5-point line move, went through 0. That's a lot. It's a lot, and a lot of money, and a lot of both the sharps, the wise guys, and the public are on it. So I get it. I'm just staying away from this because of that trend that I talked about earlier about double digit teams coming back and looking good. And I feel like the Colts offensive line, if they are healthy, is going to have a bounce back effort because like you said, they were manhandled last week. And, you know, Aaron Donald could obviously just blow up the middle of that offensive line as well, hence the pass, you know. And also, I mean, Stafford looked amazing in week one, right? It looked like a good fit. And I don't want to overreact, but I thought it was going to be a good fit anyways. And also not going to overreact to Wentz, but Wentz sucked. He was terrible. So I don't know. I don't like anything here. I lean to the Colts +4, and I actually would like the Colts at +10 on a teaser, pending the final pregame injury reports. Nothing I can give out on this podcast, though. It's only Wednesday morning or afternoon.
Any lean on the total here? 48.5 seems fair. both teams, very strong defense, kind of what they came in touted for. And then, you know, Matt Stafford seemed absolutely the perfect fit for the Los Angeles Rams offense last week. And Carson Wentz, I don't know. I strongly believe coming into the season that he was trash. That point got backed up pretty well last week. Going to give a pretty strong defensive edge to the Rams over the Seahawks as well. I don't see life getting any easier for old Carson back there.
Well, see, I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there. I don't want to spend too much time doing it. I did have the Rams pegged for a little bit of defensive regression because they lost their defensive coordinator and a few key secondary players. Obviously, it didn't seem like there's going to be much regression, but, you know, in week one, but it's at home against Andy Dalton, primetime, and the Bears are pretty terrible. So I don't think there's a lot to take away from there. I like looking at, and I cited this last week with my Panthers Jets handicap, but I like looking at seconds per play or pace stats on Football Outsiders. Last week, the Rams ran the fastest seconds per play in neutral situations, and Indianapolis ran the slowest. So they're opposite styles. I think if the Colts' offensive line is fully intact, they're going to really lean into the run game. They do not want to get into a shootout here with with Stafford and McVay versus Wentz and a receiver core that is, I think, below average and offensive weapons that really aren't that good. So I lean to the under. What's the market saying? The market's hitting the over pretty hard. We've got a little bit of reverse line movement / line free. So I think the under is a sharp play, but that might be like another. I like tees and totals too. That might be like another teaser spot where I'd rather just like boost it 6 points and bet it outright. I lean under though. Did you give your play or a thought on the total?
I think it's a lean to the under as well. Once again, I'm going to be betting very few totals this week, but if I had to here, it would be toward the under. On to our next one. The New England Patriots at 0-1 visit the 0-1 division rival New York Jets. Jets lost 19-14 at the Carolina Panthers. Patriots lost 17-16 at home against the Miami Dolphins. Pats are -270 road favorites here, understandably and predictably, -5.5 points, -120 on that. Jets are +1.5, -105, and a very low total of 42.5, -112 on the over, -108 on the under. Both teams have their Super Bowl odds go up after week one losses. The Patriots went from +3,000 to +4,000, and the Jets from +10,000 to +20,000. Just whatever little hope they had about Zach Wilson and the rest of the group coming out of the preseason kind of seemed to evaporate in a hurry. And, you know, both of us were on the Dolphins last week, so congrats to you, congrats to me. But an easier test for Bill Belichick, Mac Jones this week. Pats -5.5 seems fair. Division game at home, Zach Wilson looked good in preseason, didn't look great last week. Patriots have a much better secondary than Carolina. I'll let you take this one first.
As a pass for me, I think there's more value in the Jets at +5.5 just because they're home and it's plus points. And obviously, like, there's always overreaction to week one. And I wrote for sportsbookwire.com the Miami Dolphins New England Patriots handicap, week one handicap. I don't know if you edited it. If you did, maybe you can answer this for me. I took a shot at Boston media, kind of a petty shot. I don't know if you left that in there. But
I made some tweaks.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll say.
See, I also run the SBW Twitter account, and I just didn't want to have to deal with that. So unless you want to take on that responsibility.
Oh, if you could have tagged me in that and just put what I wrote, that'd been, I would have loved that. It would have been my dream to go against Portnoy and Simmons. But Portnoy literally said with one of the Barstool guy from New England, huge Boston sports fan, literally said after the Patriots lost that he doesn't care that the Mac Jones and the Patriots lost. He's seen enough. He doesn't care. He's seen enough. Like, this guy is sold. Bill Simmons pretty much said the exact same thing. They scored 16 points last week. All right. Yeah. Let's chill. All right. I mean, I'm not, it's a rookie quarterback, right? I mean, this is the Jets Super Bowl, right? Like at home against the Patriots, a new coach wanting to show that he's right for the job. New quarterback showing that he's not seeing ghosts like the previous Jets quarterback against the New England Patriots. But I mean, you know, Belichick owns rookie quarterbacks. Zach Wilson was awful against Carolina. There's really no stat that's going to back up his performance. I'm not giving any prediction or any thoughts on his long-term success or any of that, but he wasn't good in week one. They don't have a lot of help. He doesn't have a lot of help. I don't see him being good in week two. And I think the Patriots defense looked pretty good. I mean, if you wanted the Patriots, you should have already bet it. Sorry I wasn't on earlier, right when this opened up, but it's already gone from, what is it? I think it went from 3.5, according to some books or some websites I'm looking at, to 5.5, 6. So lost the best of the number. I'm not really interested in betting this, and I think the total is right as well. So not a lot of value in this one. Both the total and the Patriots is getting more expensive, so I'm just going to stay away.
Yeah, it's 5.5 at Tipico, 42.5 for the total. If the Patriots win and cover 5.5, that's because the Jets offense is doing nothing. So I think, if you want to do a same game parlay and just correlate plays here, it would be Patriots and the under. But, I'm not super comfortable in the Patriots. Obviously lost to a much better Miami Dolphins team than what they're playing this week. And we talked about that. Dolphins have great defense, and Tua Tagovailoa, whatever weaknesses he has, he's still a second year quarterback, which is going to be an advantage all season long against two of the quarterbacks in this division. So I don't know how much we can take away from the Patriots here.
Yeah. The one thing to add to what you kind of said, or I think something that jumped out to me when you were giving your little thoughts or giving your little handicap there, your thoughts. The implied score of this price is Patriots 24.25 points versus Jets 18.75. I would look at the Jets team total under 18.5. You can get it, right? I think the surest thing of this whole game is that the Patriots defense is gonna make it really tough for Zach Wilson, right? Maybe Jets defense shows up. Mac Jones has a stinker on the road. It could be certainly a look ahead game. They have the Saints next week, so I don't think the Belichick and the defense is gonna look past a rookie quarterback. But I could see the offense throwing a stinker. So if I were to play this anyway, maybe Jets under the team total, but even that feels kind of square. So.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's sharp. Jets under would be the way. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough on these two.
For sure.
Teams who are probably going to finish 7-10.
Combined?
On to.
No.
What?
I said combined, but that doesn't even make sense. The Jets are going to get the shit beaten at them this year.
Yeah. Anyway, so two teams that matter in the AFC East. Buffalo Bills 0-1, surprisingly. The Miami Dolphins 1-0. Surprising to some, not to you and I, Jeff. Bills coming off that 23-16 loss to the Pittsburgh, and Miami coming off 17-16 win over Patriots. So kind of a special situation here where we're talking about two teams who played teams we've already talked about in this show. Buffalo -180, Miami +145 at home. Buffalo laying -3.5 at -108, Miami +3.5, -112. Seemingly a high total here at first glance, 47.5. Neither team lit up the scoreboard last week, obviously. -105 on the over, -115 on the under, there or thereabouts. Buffalo, their Super Bowl odds haven't changed. Miami, neither. Dolphins looked good last week. Upsetting Bill Belichick more than anything else, I guess. They were against rookie quarterback. Buffalo let one get away from them. A blocked punt played a big role there. But otherwise, just not overly impressive. They had very few points on the board until late in the first half, early second half as well. Miami plus 3.5, only because of the 0.5. I like the hook there to make this a field goal game.
I don't mind that take and that stance. I'm going to pass and lean to the Bills just because I feel like they have a stronger case to be made. I'm being better on both sides of the ball, but I think the sharp play is taking B-Flow and the Dolphins 3.5 at home. Florida teams have a September weather advantage because it's hot and humid down there. So if you're not a southern team, usually you don't travel that well early on. That's like a little known or under discussed weather advantage for Miami and Tampa Bay and Jacksonville to a lesser extent, maybe, or to the same extent. The same thing about the total jumped out to me as jumped out to you. It feels a little high. In fact, the overs went cash in five straight Dolphins Bills meetings, but those totals were 43, 42.5, 41.5, 42.5, and 39.5. This one's jumped up to, what did you say? I'm seeing 47.5. Is that what Tipico has?
Yep.
So that's the spot that I lean. That does feel a little square considering actually only a slight majority of the money is on there. So it's not like the squarest play. The other thing is like the Bills, what do they score? 56 in week 17 against the Dolphins. So maybe that's lingering there. Maybe it's, people are just buying the Buffalo Bills offense at a low stock at a low point, you know, because they were so terrible against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's defense was awesome, but like Josh Allen had an awful week one. Tua had an awful week one. Both defenses are sick. They can scheme their scheme gods at coach with Sean McDermott at Buffalo and B-Flow at Miami. So for me, it's a lean on the under. I can't really get there on totals this week. Maybe I'll feel better about it later in the week, but that doesn't help our podcast right now. So I lean under 47.5.
I would love this spot for Buffalo against most other teams, right? Like they're coming off a very disappointing loss in front of Bills Mafia, Bills Mafia with Super Bowl tickets at the wazoo. We're getting kind of a soft line here, seemingly, at least based off of the Super Bowl odds and the expectations for both teams coming into the season. But it is against another very tough defense, and it is on the road, and it is in the South where it's going to be hot. Yeah, it's good points. I just wish Buffalo was playing, let's say, the Colts this week, and they could just run it up. But yeah, Brian Flores, who's seen them a few times now as a head coach, yeah, whatever about last year's matchups. Buffalo was riding a lot of momentum. I do like them in theory in a bounce back spot, but the Dolphins to me, at least based off of their week one performance, kind of proved themselves to be a stay away, at least early in the season, if you're looking to bet against them anyway. That's my take, I think. I would go Buffalo minus 3.5 if I had to. But you don't have to.
Nope.
That's a good thing about betting a full slate is that you can be much smarter about it than I was last week. The Denver Broncos 1-0 at the 0-1 Jacksonville Jaguars. Hopefully the Jaguars still have a head coach by Sunday at 1 o'clock. Denver 27-13 win over your New York Giants last week. And the Jacksonville Jaguars came into week one as favorites on the road against the Houston Texans. Boy, were the books and myself wrong. 37-21 win for the lowly Houston Texans. Jags stink. Plus 205 home underdogs. Broncos minus 260 on the road. That's not enough. Denver minus 5.5, minus 120. Jacksonville plus 5.5, minus 105. Total 45.5, minus 105 on the over, minus 115 on the under. You know, you came into the season with AFC South tickets on the Jags. You were as pro Urban Meyer as anyone on the planet. I was pro Trevor Lawrence. I liked the Jaguars last week. I don't like the Texans anymore this week. So that tells you something about that 37-21 loss the Jags took. Broncos looked good last week. They did everything they had to do. Teddy Bridgewater proved that he's the rightful starter there, and he's going to be good enough in front of that good defense. 5.5 seems very manageable because that's a big turnaround for the Jaguars against a much better team without, you know, as good of a home field advantage as a lot of these other teams we're going to talk about expecting to bounce back.
Yeah. Well, this is where it gets weird for me. I'm taking the Jaguars +6.
No.
Yeah. This is like watching my two brothers fight with Urban Meyer versus Teddy Bridgewater. I love them both. I don't even know really. I guess since I'll be betting the Jaguars, that's who I'm rooting for. But, you know, you got to fade the overreactions. And, you know, we already talked about the 0-1 teams that lost double digits against the spread trend. We already discussed that. It's second biggest preseason line adjustment. This line was -1.5 last week, and now it's up to 5.5, 6 in some spots. You said 5.5 at Tipico. A lot of the money and a lot of the action or handle is on the Broncos right now. And it makes sense. I mean, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars lost as favorites. They're only favorites in two games. Were favorites in two games heading into the season, both against the Houston Texans, and they got blown out by the Texans, who we'll talk about soon. But their defense is not a lot good, you could say, maybe. But I saw some stats that I feel like could spin the Jacksonville defense forward. They actually had the highest pressure rate last week, and they held the Houston Texans running backs to 3.3 yards per carry or fewer. It was Tyrod Taylor who did a lot of damage with 4 carries for 40 yards. I'm high on Tyrod Taylor. Again, we'll talk about that. And Jacksonville at least had more yards per play than Houston. Also, Denver's leading wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, who was awesome last week, sprained his ankle. He's not going to be there. New cornerback Ron Darby got injured. He's not going to be there. And it's the overreaction thing, I think, is very palpable in this one. As an USC fan and a Southern California resident, I'm cool with Urban Meyer coming here. But, like, it feels like all these NFL writers and all the media people just want to just tear down Urban Meyer for whatever reason. I don't know, right or wrong. And maybe they are going to be right, but it feels like after he loses in week one, now it's like maybe he moves to South America and does some work with the Amazon tribes. And he's just like over football. It's like, well, I mean, and then you have people like clowning on him for being like super angry about getting blown out in his first game. It's like, what? This dude never loses. Trevor Lawrence has literally never lost a regular season game his whole entire football life. Like, they should be mad. They should be very, very mad they got punked by the Houston Texans. Denver is a Mountain West or Mountain Standard Time team playing in an East Coast early start time. Again, we have the Florida weather advantage. Back-to-back roadies for Denver. Also, our friends at Tipico, they're operational in Colorado. There's a lot of sports books operation in Colorado. Denver's a very popular team. There's going to be a lot of Denver schnooks out there just hammering the Broncos. I'm going to fade them. It sucks. It doesn't feel great, but I'll take Jacksonville +6.
It's similar to the last game for me. This is a tough spot for Trevor Lawrence and the Jags to bounce back, right? It's a very tough defense coming to visit them again. Yeah, they're staying on the road, but they just came off a pretty big road win last week. Definitely in a tougher environment, maybe against a better team. It's tough. Jags, I was high on them coming in. They're can't bet them. +5.5. I think I like Denver. I definitely like the under here as bad as I did last week against totals. I'm going to bet the under 45.5 between these two, you know, whatevers.
Is that because you're expecting a little bit of regression out of Teddy Bridgewater? Because that's kind of what I'm baking into my thoughts here too.
Yeah, I can see a bit of a downgrade for Denver. And, you know, I just don't see Trevor Lawrence putting it together in week two against a very good Broncos defense, right? And yeah, I do think he's a whole lot better than he was last week. But, you know, if you can't put up points on the Texans, you're not going to put them up against the Broncos. And, you know, Urban Meyer can say whatever he wants to say. You can say whatever you want to say to support him. But there's distractions for him, for everyone. we're going to talk about, or everyone talks about distractions for players all the time. Now, this is a head coach who's definitely distracted because there's at least a part of him who would be, that would be entertaining this USC offer. So, or not offer, but interest. I'm on Denver here, -5.5, but my official bet on the game is the under 45.5. I just don't see Trevor Lawrence getting to roughly 20 points against a very good Broncos secondary and a very good pass rush, because the Jaguars offensive line was an issue all through the preseason, was clearly an issue again last week against not an intimidating defensive line of the Texans.
Well, I will take three shots of whiskey before I actually hit enter on this bet. I'll tell you that. I'm really smelling my own handicapping farts by betting Jacksonville. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to need some anesthetic on that one. Okay. Moving on to Houston at Cleveland.
Perfect. Where do you think I'm going to go here?
Oh, I'm going to be quick to this trigger, and it's going to be against you, and I can't wait. Houston 1-0. Cleveland 0-1, not stopping the books here. -750 for the Browns, -1.5 at -115. And the Texans +500, +1.5, -105. Now they're down to Browns -11.5. Yes, the theme of the show is betting against these early season reactions and these big totals. One of the lessons learned last week was to bet against big totals. You did that in week one, most prominently in Detroit, San Francisco. You catch that ticket late. I don't see it happening. The Cinderella season ends early for the Texans, similarly to how it ended early for the Jaguars last year after their week one upset of the Indianapolis Colts. Texans, they are who we thought they were. They find that out this week on the road against a very good defense and a Browns team pretty motivated to get a big win and possibly run up the score as best they can after letting one slip away from them last week in Kansas City. I'm on Browns -11.5. I know you're on the other side. Say why, and we'll do the total quickly.
I mean, we're doing moral victories in the NFL now? That happens? I don't know. They lost, and they lost in a heartbreaking fashion, the Cleveland Browns did. That doesn't stick with you. There's not a letdown game at all. Also, Houston actually plays a lot faster than KC, at least KC did last week, and they play differently because they have to, right? They're not nearly as talented. Also, have you looked at this roster? I feel like I didn't do the bet slip and listeners justice, or I didn't do Houston justice for the bet slip and listeners when we previewed the AFC South, but like, this team doesn't have scrubs. Like, they got guys that can play. Brandon Cooks has 5 1,000 yard seasons. Their backfield is pretty sick with Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, and David Johnson as a role player. You know, you don't want to like pay him as a franchise running back. You don't want to pay anyone as a franchise running back. Week two, double digit favorites. From 2011 to present are 5-8 against the spread. And week one and two double digit favorites are 8-14 against the spread. So, you know, they don't do really well. And it's, again, it's like people overreacting to preseason or overreacting to week one results. And that's a similar situation here. Everyone's betting Cleveland, right? But we got a little bit of reverse line movement. It opened at 13.5 and it's at 12.5 on Tipico, or is it still at 13 on there?
11.5.
It's at 11.5 right now?
Yeah.
Ooh, baby. So it's reverse line moving heavily, huh? Also, this is another little handicap and wrinkle that I have in there. The back door is always open for scrambling quarterbacks. Bottom line is Tyrod Taylor doesn't have the arm talent as other guys, and he's willing to just bail on plays and run for plays, and it causes havoc, and it leads to freak scores and stuff like that. I actually think this offense has enough talent, and to be honest, I didn't see enough out of the Browns' defense last week. Granted, it's against KC. I didn't see enough of that defense where they should be laying two touchdowns at this point. I like Houston. I think Tyrod Taylor is a gamer. Maybe everyone's sleeping on the coach because he said some dumb shit, and he was not like the the ideal candidate in the offseason, but to me, that gets some value. OBJ is going to be out again this game, and I do think this is a bit of a letdown spot. So I'm going to take the Texans plus 11.5 here, 12.5 in most books.
This is David Culley's first career road game as a head coach. The Texans are who we thought they were. Yeah, Brandon Cooks is an NFL player. Danny Amendola, no, he's not anymore. Mark Ingram, fine, whatever. David Johnson, not worried about it. Philip Lindsay, no. Tyrod Taylor, yeah, you know, that's what he does. He gets that week one win. Obviously, last season he got stabbed in the lung by a team doctor.
Probably still won week one. This week. Still won.
I'm on the Browns. You say heartbreaking loss. I'm going to say they're going to be very angry here, and there's no better team in pro sports to take out your frustrations on than the Houston Texans coming on the road here. No running backs worth paying big money to, other than Nick Chubb, perhaps. And he's in at least that top tier that you could. Browns were running all over Kansas City last week. That Kansas City comeback can only happen by the Chiefs, the way they did it with a couple of quick strikes the whole length of the field. Houston can't do that. Tyrod Taylor can't. Brandon Cooks can't. The rest of the team certainly can't. So, no, I'm on Browns minus 11.5. I guess I'd probably wait to see if it can drop a little bit further, just because I'm not overly concerned about it going the other way up to two touchdowns. Browns win big. Next game we got the 49ers against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles team. We want to talk about overreactions. One team to overreact to is an Eagles team that looked very good in a 32-6 domination of the Atlanta Falcons. The San Francisco 49ers, a 41-33 win over the Lions. Congrats to you on getting that Lions cover. Boy, was it ugly. You may have been one of the only people still following along in that game and how it was progressing, because that got relatively close in terms of betting. Never really got close. Well, I guess Detroit had a possession where they could have done something. Came up short and never really felt within reach, whatever. Niners, more manageable, 3.5 on the road here. Minus 110 on either side of this. Total of 50.5 in Philadelphia. Niners minus 3.5.
Is that what it is right now?
Yeah.
Oh, baby. I know. I'm taking the Eagles plus 3.5 for sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah. 60, what is it? How much of the bets are on the 49ers? A lot. Well, actually, like 65% of the action and 58% of the total bets, but it looks like we're getting some reverse line movement as it opened up at 4. Jalen Hurts graded out really well on PFF, and according to most NFL charting sites, he did better than Jimmy G, even though both were pretty good and it was only slightly better than Jimmy G. Jared Goff versus San Francisco's defense in week one showed me that if your O-line could hold up and pass protection, these quarterbacks can move the ball through the air on this Niners secondary. Niners secondary that just lost their number one cornerback in Jason Verrett for the year. They're already talking about bringing back Richard Sherman, who's battling off-field issues. I don't think he's even in a place to play, but it's something that they're legit discussing. And this Philadelphia Eagles offensive line and defensive line is going to win these matchups. The defensive line for Philly mauled San Francisco's offensive line when they met last year. Philly was 9-point road underdogs in Sunday Night Football going against the 49ers, who had pretty much a healthy offense except for Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, that does matter. I'm not going to completely rule that out, but their offensive line was good to go. Kittle had 15 catches for 150 yards. They had Mostert out there. They had Debo Samuel. They had Ayuk, who apparently isn't going to play because he's fallen out of favor with Shanahan. So I guess we have a little bit of locker room turmoil as well. West Coast team playing an East Coast game and a legit home field advantage. The link in Philly. Philly, the crowd is raucous. And Eagles had a better DVOA. And who played the tougher opponent, right? I guess the Falcons were projected to be better than the Lions preseason. Maybe the Falcons actually suck and the Lions are pretty good, but I still would take the Falcons over the Lions in a neutral field. And Eagles just absolutely punked them. 3.5 at home, I'll take it. And finally, like, back to the Philly defensive line, which is just, they're nasty. They had the fourth best pressure rate last week, and I think the fourth lowest blitz rate. Like, they were just blowing up the Falcons' offensive line, and the Falcons' offensive line sucks, but I'll take the 3.5 at home.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I was wrong. -3.5 on the 49ers is too much. Eagles did look good in those two areas. And yeah, I didn't believe in this Niners defense coming into the season. Certainly giving up 33 to the Lions doesn't make me a believer anymore. Philly looked good in the areas they were kind of expected to be good. And then, you know, surprised in areas where they probably weren't expected to be good. Obviously tougher competition here, but yeah, +3.5 at home.
Also, I'm with you. In what world, like, does anyone think Jared Goff is fit, or that's a good spot for him to backdoor cover when San Francisco's up what, at least two touchdowns, maybe 20 points? That sick pass rush can pin their ears back. Jared Goff doesn't have receivers really to throw it to. They're his best receiving option's a tight end, and the 49ers have the best cover linebacker in the league, right? Like, you just tee off on Jared Goff. Didn't happen. I don't know. To me, that raises red flags about the San Francisco 49ers, and neither one of us were high on that defense or that team coming into the season, so.
No, I never once believed in them as Super Bowl contenders. They stay +1,200 off of allowing that backdoor cover. Yeah, Philly did what it had to do to look good, and I don't think they're getting enough respect. You know, even though they are close to New Jersey, where Tipico is operational and a very public team there.
Good point.
But I can see this moving as we go through the week. So, yeah, I would probably jump on the +3.5 early.
Damn
two
right.
Teams. Oh, you're excited for this one. It's Cincinnati Bengals 1-0, Chicago Bears 0-1. Oh, not this one?
No, I was saying damn right I'm jumping on that earlier.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. Cincinnati Bengals 1-0, Bears 0-1. Cincinnati 27-24 win over the Vikings in overtime. So they're riding that high coming into Chicago against a Bears team that took a 34-14 licking in Los Angeles on Sunday Night Football. Cincinnati, a +122 road dog here, +110, +2.5. Bears -2.5, -112, -135 on the money line. Total 45.5. Bengals offense looked great. Defense looked good enough. Offensive line probably going to get a tougher test this week against Chicago, but Chicago defense that could do nothing to stop Matthew Stafford and the Rams last week. Seems a favorable number for the Bengals. A line that's maybe not reacting enough to week one. I think the Bears are just bad. More than I think the Bengals are good enough to win this game. It's still Andy Dalton under center. You're a Dalton
apologist
supporter in the loosest sense of the word.
For sure. I have a jersey.
What is it? It's not Chicago -135. I think that's certainly too steep on money line. -2.5 though. And they win this by a field goal, they certainly can't keep up. If Cincinnati did offensively last week, I mean, this is over. The Vikings are better offensively than the Bears.
For sure. You know, if I had to bet every game on the slate and I was given one game to opt out of, I'd probably be this one. This one's tough. It feels like a trap, right? And we're getting reverse line movement. Most of the handle is on Cincinnati, but it's ticking down from 3 as an opener to the Bears -2.5. That's not reverse line movement. I'm tripping. So I suppose the sharp money and the public money is on Cincinnati. Either way, As you can tell, I don't really have a read on this game. Andy Dalton revenge game. I love the revenge game narrative. Most people think that's campy or corny, whatever. So I don't have to focus on it much, but it feels like a trap. Joe Burrow looked awesome in his first game back from injury since he won as an underdog against a team I thought was going to be good in Minnesota. Bears looked awful on prime time, but Chicago was favored 3 coming out the gate. I don't know. Bears defense ranked dead last in DVOA and defensive EPA per play, but and I thought Chicago's defense is going to be old and stale, and I pegged it for aggression preseason. That said, maybe Rams are just that good, and they feasted on a Bears defense that really couldn't contend with them, and maybe they have a bounce back game. And again, they're at home. I'm passing. I we don't have to be heroes on this one, I don't think.
Yeah. Pass for me as well. I want to take Cincinnati. Cincinnati money line would be the play for me if interested in doing it, but I'm not. Saints are -3.5-point favorites, which seems very conservative coming off of last week's domination of the Packers. -3.5-point favorites at the Carolina Panthers, the NFC South rival Carolina Panthers. Carolina is +155 on the money line, +3.5 on the spread, -115. So a little bit of juice there. Saints -105 to win by 4 or more. And the Saints are -190 on the money line. Total of 44.5 with a little bit of juice on the over at -115. Now, we talk about early season reactions and how books and fans and bettors alike all do it. Books not really doing much to react here to a Panthers team that barely beat the Jets and a Saints team and Jameis Winston, who look like the class of the NFC last week. Well, at least the second best team in their division. Saints -3.5. Why can Carolina keep it within that?
Why could they? Is because, like I said in preseason preview, and I'm still on this, even though they played the Jets, I think this defense is actually pretty good this year. I do think it matches up decent against most teams, and against a Saints team that I think is more schematic. And obviously Alvin Kamara is going to play a huge role in how they do this year. They don't have great wide receivers. They're mixing in new tight ends. Jameis Winston's kind of always a toss-up, and he could throw them out of games or ruin possessions in the red zone. So that's kind of the Panthers' argument. I would say, though, the Saints, there feels like there's a lot of motivation in this New Orleans locker room that I don't really want to fade. Peyton wants to prove he can win without Drew Brees. Jameis wants to prove he can be a starting franchise quarterback. All the wide receivers have a chance to step up in Michael Thomas's absence. Kamara might be the most underrated skill position player in the NFL, and Christian McCaffrey is getting paid more money than him, and really what's more motivating in professional sports than that, right? So I think if I were to go either way, I would lean to the Saints at 3.5. But to your point, or to your original point, it just feels kind of like a trap. Like the Saints beat the shit out of the Packers last week. Like I was spending that money at the end of the first quarter, right? The game was over. Panthers looked very, very just blah, especially well on offense against the Jets. So both ran an ultra slow pace on week one. I think both defenses are pretty top notch. We're getting some, let me make sure that this still is accurate because it flipped on me earlier, but we were getting some reverse line movement where the Saints, 85% of the money is on the over, 82% of the handles on the over, but it's came down from 47 to the current price point. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tease this just to get into a more comfy spot, but I'm going to tease the total, and I'll just mention them more and go into the window. What's it on the book right now? The total is 44.5?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to tease it up to 50.5, and I'm going to add it to another leg, which I'll talk about it going to the window. But the further side, I'm going to pass, and even the total outright, I'm going to pass as well.
I would go Saints -3.5. I don't feel strongly enough to put it on my card. I have a couple bets there already and a couple more that I'm going to like a little bit more. Yeah, trap is the thing. And that's really the only reason to not bet it, because based on every single thing we saw last week from both teams, Saints at -3.5 would be the play. Anyway, before we get into the 4 o'clock games, a quick word from our sponsor, Tipico Sportsbook. They provide our odds at sportsbookwire.com as well as on this podcast. Great book, operational in New Jersey and Colorado. They're a global sports betting leader and starting to make their way into the States, into those two right now. More on the way. Make your bets more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. Everything you love to bet, every way you love to bet, do it via the sportsbook or the Tipico sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast, Bet Slippin' Podcast, will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. 21 plus. See site for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado. Bet your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Tipico Sportsbook, a good partner of sportsbookwire.com and this show. Visit sportsbookwire for handicaps of every NFL game all week, the top college games. We're going to have NBA games starting up here mid to late October. I know you, Jeff Clark, are looking forward to that. We're going to have some NHL games once that gets going around the same time. I'm looking forward to some of that. And golf season starting to ramp up. Ryder Cup coming up next week. Be looking forward to covering that on sportsbookwire.com. But that's all in the future. Focusing on the task at hand and the real moneymaker for everyone. NFL 4 o'clock slate for Sunday of week 2. Whew, may as well continue that ad break instead of talking about this game. The 0-1 Atlanta Falcons at the 1-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Falcons, as we've discussed, 32-6 loss on home field against a Philadelphia Eagles team that was expected to be bad. And the Buccaneers, a great Thursday night 2021 season opener, 31-29, late dying second field goal win over the Dallas Cowboys. Atlanta, +470 money line underdog. I don't know if there is a price that would warrant betting anything on Atlanta. Tampa Bay -700 at home, laying -12.5 points, -108. Atlanta +12.5, -112. You've got the take here based on what else we've talked about. The logic would be to take the double-digit underdog early in the season, but, I mean, no team in the NFL looked as bad as the Falcons last week, and I don't know if they could have looked any worse. Talked about these advanced grading systems, Football Outsiders, Pro Football Focus, graded several Atlanta Falcons offensive players among the worst you're going to see for anyone all season, especially along the offensive line. Atlanta came out pretty good their first couple of drives, moving the ball. Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley in particular were good. And then it just entirely disappeared and they couldn't do anything. Yeah. Does this one fit your mold of an early season double-digit underdog you want to back?
No. And you know how much I want double digits being spotted double digits. I just can't get there on this one. I don't think the Falcons, they can't really play any worse. They can't. But, like, what can you hang your hat on about what they did, right? I mean, Kyle Pitts didn't do much, and I'm not like selling any stock on him. He's going to be phenomenal. But Lavonte David is the highest graded PFF linebacker. He's awesome in coverage, and they're stacked at linebacker. They're stacked everywhere. You know, that offensive line for Atlanta got decimated last week. Also, the defense for Tampa Bay didn't look good in week one, so they're going to be motivated to kind of turn the page. And, you know, that little weirdo Tom Brady is going to be, like, mad that they didn't smoke the Cowboys on prime time. And he's going to get, like, you know, his weird little bulletin board material, even though they won in spectacular fashion in week one. The preseason line moved from 9.5 to 12.5, but I can't really push back on that line move because Atlanta, like, they had the worst performance in week one, probably. It was pitiful. I don't know. It looked like an ACC team out there.
That's a very justifiable line movement because Atlanta is that much worse than everyone expected. Their Super Bowl odds, the biggest drop of, I think, anyone, plus 6,000 coming into the season. They're plus 8,000 after one loss, whereas the Bucs went from plus 600 to plus 500, creeping in on the Kansas City Chiefs as the Super Bowl 56 favorite. Yeah, Atlanta was just utter trash. And this isn't a bounce back spot by any means. They're a division rival on the road and the reigning Super Bowl champions. You can't justify plus 12.5 other than it being too big. And I honestly don't believe it's big enough.
Yeah, I didn't like anything I saw out of Atlanta. This obviously fits the mold of an overreaction spot. So like, I'm not going to bet the Buccaneers minus 12.5. I mean, gun to my head, which there isn't, I would take the Bucs, but I don't like it.
Yeah. I would go to the under 51.5 though, just because I don't see the Falcons doing enough to contribute their share to that. And I don't think the Bucs run up the score. We saw that from them a few times last season where they kind of just let off. You know, bring in some of the second team that's still a whole lot better than a lot of those Falcons first team. I don't think we see a whole lot of points in this one. There just won't be any reason to. Another 4 o'clock game. Minnesota Vikings 0-1 visit the 1-0 Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals a 38-13 beat down to the Tennessee Titans on the road last week, whereas the Vikings lost that overtime heartbreaker against the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. Cardinals are minus 200. Vikings are plus 160. Cardinals minus 3.5, minus 115. Vikes plus 3.5, minus 107. High total again here, largely because of what everyone saw from the Cardinals last week, how scary that offense can be. That's 51.5 with the 50.5. It dropped a little bit, dropped by a point. Minus 110 on both sides. So Cardinals looked as good as anyone last week, really. Offense, everyone, well, a lot of people believe that they could be a very good offensive team. Fully looked that against a very suspect Titans defense. And the defense looked good, especially Chandler Jones, NFC Defensive Player of the Week with 5 sacks. And he goes up against a Vikings O-line and quarterback Kirk Cousins, who was sacked 3 times last week by the Bengals. Cardinals minus 4.5 seems like a lock to me. I'm going to put that one on my sheet and take it to the window.
You were the Cardinals win last week was probably your biggest win last week, right? You had that one?
The money line upset. Yeah, I had 2 money line upsets, Cardinals and Dolphins. Forget which one was higher odds, but yeah, you know, I came into the season as a believer in the Cardinals, kind of opposite you. You tried to talk me out of it. I'm going to double down here against a Vikings team that they just lost to the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good spot to double down. I mean, I'm not married to my take. I came out really strongly in my NFC West preview and touting the Cardinals under. I'm not, like, you know, selling my position on that by any means, but, like, I liked Kyler Murray coming out of college. And then there was reasons why I gave, you know, and you can go back and listen to it, and why I didn't like him. I just thought, like, his stature is too small based on everything they're going to ask from him. But, like, he looked like an absolute superstar in week one. I don't see a lot of value in betting in this game because Arizona looked good, and I just could be flat wrong. I could be. I Kyler Murray has a really good offensive line built around him, really good weapons. Maybe the Cliff Kingsbury thing works, or maybe it works in spite of him because of Kyler Murray. You know, most importantly, betting on Kirk Cousins is like shooting heroin and then going skydiving. Like, no, I'm good. I was rooting for the Vikings and Bengals to tie last week because then it would set up for the Vikings going 8-8-1 and finishing 500 in a 17-game series, which is there anything perfect, Kirk Cousins? If you look at Kirk Cousins' advanced analytics in week one, where do you think it ranks? 15 or 16 across the board. This is as average as it gets, and I just hate betting this guy. And again, as cool as I was on Cardinals, I do like that team, or I do like Kyler Murray as like a fan. This could be a Patrick Peterson revenge game. Again, I like those takes, but they're going to need the secondary to show up against this these wide receivers. And I am more willing to forgive the Vikings for their week one loss in Cincy than overreact to the Cardinals stomping Titans a week one, because Minnesota, I think, does have a better coach. Joe Burrow's an icon, so I don't think it's that terrible of a loss. And the Titans could be bad. You know, they could be regressing. So I don't see a lot of value in betting this game. Because I was higher on the Vikings preseason, I would take the points, gun to my head, but I'm good. I wouldn't even put it on a teaser. And like, I'm cool with teasing awkward numbers, 4.5 to 10.5, but I don't like betting Kirk Cousins, so I'm just gonna pass on this one. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm on the Cardinals, and to clarify, that dropped to 3.5 since this morning, so that's the bet I'm gonna take for record keeping purposes. A little more favorable to myself as the host. But yeah, I think it's the Cardinals here. And you know, we mentioned Patrick Peterson on the other side. Cardinals have plenty of options, and he can't cover all of them. Chris Kirk looked great last week. DeAndre Hopkins, we know he's great. And A.J. Green should have had a touchdown in the end zone. I think Arizona left points on the board, even though they put up 38. And yeah, I think that defense, the pass rush in particular, is good enough to get to Kirk Cousins, because the Bengals were good enough to do that multiple times last week. I like the Cardinals -3.5.
Did you see what Chandler Jones did to Taylor Lewan last week? Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Taylor Lewan, I think, was extended for huge money last offseason. Chandler Jones is looking for his money. He did the paper shit after a couple sack celebrations. I mean, he had a lot of, what did he have, five? So he had a lot of celebrating to do. I mean, I love the Jones family. And he's as close to a Hall of Famer or as on the fringe Hall of Famers get. I just wanted to add that, because it was interesting. I was worried about how this team's morale would be, especially on defense, because they do have some old guys, and Chandler Jones wanted a pay increase, and he's letting his play do more talk than his words at this point. Holy shit.
It's an awfully good start toward that payday. Yes, and J.J. Watt, obviously, as well. No sacks last week, but obviously played a role there. Something teams have to watch out for, and Vikings offensive line is still a big weakness. Cardinals -3.5 is the official number. Moving on to Tennessee, the Tennessee team that we just said looked very bad last week. They're on the road now against the Seattle Seahawks, 1-0 off of their win over the Colts. Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. Tennessee +190 road dog. Seattle -240 home favorite. -5.5 for the Seahawks at -112, +5.5, -108 for the Titans. 53.5 is the total. -108 on the over, -112 on the under. I'm going under 55.5. 53.5, excuse me. Under 53.5, and Seahawks. Seahawks -5.5, just because Tennessee looked that bad last week in this cross country trip, and you know, playing a team that came into the season with higher expectations won't do them any favors. Seahawks -5.5 and the under.
I like the under more than the Seahawks. I'm going to pass on both. This is a pros versus Joes game, at least according to the betting market, with the money on Titans, but the public is on the Seahawks. I do. My opinion on the presumed sharp action is it's almost like robotic. I think syndicates and wise guys instinctively just think this is a buy low spot for the Titans offense and a sell high spot for the Seahawks defense, who faced Carson Wentz in week one on a new team. That's just me explaining that, because I don't really agree with that movement. If anything, I lean to the Seahawks because I just thought they were undervalued in the preseason to start off. Titans looked like chumps, but there's enough talent, professionalism, pride in that locker room where I think they're going to come out with a motivated week two effort. Seattle's defensive line played really, really well against a good, but it was banged up in the offensive line. And Tennessee's offensive line, like I said, got demolished last week, and it's kind of like a look in the mirror moment for those guys. So I'm not crazy about laying it with the Titans, especially going against the sharp money, but I do think it is robotic sharp money, and it's just like syndicates who are hammering every single game where it's like, this is probably, unless Titans get blown out again, it's probably a buy low spot for their offense. So, but I'm with you. I like the under mostly. So in my head, you know, I'm not buying the Titans offense. So I don't have much more though here, so we don't have to belabor this handicap unless you got more to add to yours.
No, that's good for me. 4:25 p.m. The Los Angeles Chargers at 1-0 host the 0-1 Dallas Cowboys. 31-29 loss for Dallas on Thursday night. Basically a scheduled loss going into Tampa Bay for the season opener. Chargers were on the road in a 2016 win over Washington. Offensive rookie of the year, Justin Herbert, did enough against a very tough defense on the road, a tough spot for him. Gets a more favorable matchup this week against a very bad and still bad Dallas Cowboys defense. Chargers are -175 home favorites and laying -3.5 points. So they're laying 3.5 points at -105. Cowboys +3.5, -120, +140 on the money line if there's any interest. 55.5 is the point total with -110 on either side. Much easier matchup for both teams, I want to say, at least for the Chargers offense, which is how they're going to win games most of the year, if they're going to do it. Dallas, they gave it their best and did a whole lot better than most people expected. They covered an 8.5 point spread last Thursday night. To me, the extra rest advantage certainly negates any disadvantage they would have with the cross-country travel here. +2.5 seems like a very fair, or +3.5 during the day. That's still fair. No, I think I'm on Dallas +3.5.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote this down as soon as the Thursday night football game last week ended, whereas like I'm fading the Cowboys. This is going to be, I know a lot of people are going to come into the Cowboys looking to back them in the spot after how well they looked, against the defending Super Bowl champions. Dak Prescott looked great coming back from injury, slung the ball all around the field. All the wide receivers were productive, and Cowboys nearly stunned the Bucks. They have extra prep. They're actually, you know, it's a muted home field advantage for the Chargers. There's probably going to be more Cowboys fans. I think all that stuff is baked in the line. The reason why I like the Chargers, that offensive line improvement that we anticipated in the preseason, that's a real thing. They held up very nicely against a tough, very tough Washington football team defensive line. They kept a clean pocket for Herbert. I think he was only sacked twice on like 50 dropbacks. Dallas have got the right tackle. Collins is going to be out. He was suspended. Michael Gallup, I don't think, is going to play either. Joey Bosa is going to wreak havoc on the right side of Dallas's O-line. And Derwin James is a force multiplier in the secondary. He's a top five DB in my book in the NFL, and he's a keystone of LA's secondary. He played awesome last week. And we're getting a line freeze, you know. We have a pros versus Joes game, but that's kind of a new development. 66% of the money is on the Chargers. 85% of the tickets are on the Cowboys. But even when the Cowboys were getting a lot more of the money and the handle, the line just stuck where it was. I think there's so many more arguments for the Cowboys, and the Cowboys look so good publicly, yet the Chargers at -3 is fishy. And spoiler, I'm going to take it to the window. This is my only favorite I'm going to play this week. I'll take the Chargers -3.
Wow. The over-under, 55.5 at Tipico. I would say the over would be the public play. You have the splits on that one or any personal lead?
I can give you the splits. The over is at 95% of the money and 87% of the handle. It started at 51. It's up to 55.5. So we're getting the worst number for on the over. Sharps and the public think it's going to go over. I don't have a strong enough opinion either way. I have to look at the pace stats. Hold on, give me 1 second. The pace stats, Chargers were 9th in pace. Dallas was 10th right there. So they play a little faster. I don't know how sticky of a stat that is. I'm just going to pass on the total, and I like the Chargers -3.
All right. Both
three
teams,
and a half, whatever.
Both teams started the year and remain +3,000 for the Super Bowl. So should be a tight one by most projections, like you said, and by the odds. I think I'm on the Cowboys +3.5. That hook helps.
Did you watch Justin Herbert week 1? Did you catch any of them?
Whatever was on Red Zone, which wasn't a whole lot because they only put up 20 points.
I think 51 dropbacks against that defensive line and a new offensive line is pretty impressive. I liked how he looked, and everyone who's excited about Herbert coming into the season should just be even more excited, I think. And yeah, I mean, it's not great, you know, but I'll take it. I'll take the trendy dog getting slaughtered this week.
All right. Probably the biggest game of the week here, because Monday Night Football is a dumpster fire. Sunday Night Football, Kansas City Chiefs 1-0 against the Baltimore Ravens 0-1. 8:20 p.m. kickoff, as usual. The Ravens coming off that 33-27 overtime loss in Las Vegas in a very hostile environment. Fans for the first time at the Death Star. And the Chiefs, the come-from-behind 33-29 win over the Cleveland. That is just a warning to the rest of the NFL. I think that's as scary as they've ever looked, really. I've talked before, everyone knows Cleveland had control of that game for a long time until two Patrick Mahomes throws that are basically home runs that Tyreek Hill or whoever is climbing the wall and grabbing for a touchdown. It's, you know, there's nothing anyone can do other than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I suppose. As you'd expect, Chiefs are -200 on the road here. Baltimore +160 at home. The spread -3.5 for the Chiefs, and it is lost my spot. -3.5, -115 for the Chiefs, +3.5, -107 for the Ravens. 55.5 is now the point total. That's gone up throughout the day. -108 for the over, -112 for the under at Tipico Sportsbook. Chiefs, you know, we talk all the time. You can't bet against them, really. You can't confidently or bravely bet against them. But the 3.5 for a Ravens team, everyone, including the books, thought was going to be very good coming into the season. Is there enough for you to want to bet that at that number, 3.5, keep it within a field goal? They were just upset as road favorites against the Raiders.
I lean 3.5 for the Ravens, but I'm going to have Ravens 9.5 as a teaser leg. I'll talk about that going to the window. Well, I'll talk about it now and add it, mention it and going to the window, I guess. So the preseason line was actually a pick 'em. Ravens, Chiefs, even money. Last week, or this opened at 2.5. The public has bet it from 2.5 to 3.5. That's a huge, 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 massive move through the three, right? I mean, from pick 'em to 2.5 is pretty big, right? But, you know, I'll listen to, obviously, most games end in 3, or that's the most common final margin. So 3.5 is the big one, I think the biggest key number. That's, I'm not, you know, I'm not breaking any, I'm not like wowing anyone with that. Everyone kind of knows that, you know, that key number stuff, but it's a huge adjustment. So in my head, if I tease it, I'm getting 9.5 points in the preseason line. Now, you know, Lamar was terrible last week versus the Raiders, but I think the Raiders defense is a little bit better than the market projects. And if we saw Cleveland, if we paid attention to that Cleveland Kansas City game last week, Cleveland trampled Kansas City's defense, trampled them, right? I think Baltimore is going to run all over Kansas City's defense, Lamar specifically. It's a back against the wall game for Lamar. And for Baltimore, they don't want to go down 0-2 this tough AFC North. And I think they're going to be able to run and pace the game. They're going to run all over KC, pace the game. Kansas City's D-line had the worst adjusted line yards last week. They had the second worst rushing yards per carry allowed. They don't have any good second-level playmakers. Anthony Hitchens is questionable. Linebacker Willie Gay is in the IR. Safety Matthew is questionable. Baltimore's O-line's a suspect. I'll say that, but these guys were neck and neck in DVOA grades last week. Ravens have one of the sneakier big home field advantages in the NFL. Get 9.5 from the look ahead, plus 9.5 from the look ahead line a couple weeks ago on the teaser. I'm going to tease the Ravens. That's my Sunday Night Football play. How about you?
Mahomes is 3-0 against Jackson head-to-head since 2018. Those wins 27-24, 33-28, and 34-20 last year. Yes, Cleveland absolutely ran over Kansas City. But we can't forget the Ravens are down to their third and fourth and fifth string running backs here that played part of a role against the Raiders, even though Tyson Williams looked good. But the losses of J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, their two top two running backs and two preferred options, aren't there. And I don't know if Baltimore has the personnel to do what it wants to do behind Lamar Jackson. Kansas City has, you know, dominated this recent matchup between these two quarterbacks, the former MVPs. That 34-20 win last season was in Baltimore. Early in the season as well. That was September 28th, so that would have been a week 3 matchup. I don't know if I can go against the Chiefs here. I won Kansas City -3.5, -115, and that's the better side. Baltimore, heartbreaking loss, but they just don't have the personnel to do what they need to do to beat Kansas City.
I don't hate your take. That's why I teased it.
Yeah.
We both can win. Obviously.
The teaser would be my play as well. That's very friendly, +9.5. Monday Night Football in a garbage game. The 0-1 Detroit Lions team that was expected to be bad is bad, even though they covered last week in their 41-33 loss on home field. They head to Lambeau Field to face a Packers team that was just roughed up 38-3 in a neutral site against Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints. Detroit, a +440 underdog against the -650 favored Green Bay, +10.5 for the Lions at -110, -10.5 for Green Bay, -110. This fits the mold we've had a few times this week. So you're on Lions +10.5 again to do what they did last week and just ugly, hideous backdoor cover when absolutely everyone has turned off the TV.
I mean, that's where I think the value is. I don't like anything right now. Maybe as Monday Night Football gets closer, I'll take the Lions. I mean, 11's a dead number, so I'm not like waiting for it to get up to 12. As long as it doesn't get below 10, I'm all right. But I do think Dan Campbell is better than the market wants to give him credit for. There's a lot of like hungry dogs, I guess you could say, on Detroit, and whether the San Francisco defense isn't as good as most people expected or Detroit's offense is a little better and in sync, I don't know. I can't figure it out, but Swift looked good. The offensive line looked sick. Hockenson looked like a top five tight end in the league. Jared Goff looked comfortable out there. So I'm also just down on this whole Green Bay Packers thing. Just Aaron Rodgers is so insufferable. He's doing the press tour with McAfee. He's talking about just relax, everyone. And you know what? He's probably right. He's probably going to come back, get right against Detroit, and light them up. So I'm not that excited about it, but everyone's in the Packers. And again, it's probably rightfully so, right? This is a get-right game for the Packers offense. Detroit's defense couldn't do anything with San Francisco last week. So it's not great. If anything, it's a plug your nose, take the 11, hold on for dear life, in my opinion. But I don't like what I see out of the Packers. It's just a crappy vibe. I mean, when your two best players are essentially saying they're better than everyone else and you're holding them back, I mean, Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, doesn't that have its effect on the locker room? Whereas, like, I'm assuming everyone's pretty excited about the Dan Campbell thing. That's what he does best, is get everyone pumped up to play. I mean, I just don't like the Packers in the spot. I don't like them in general, and they're going to have to put together a couple of sick performances before I think about laying multiple or double digits with them. It's a pass for me officially. We'll see on Monday. How mad do you think that one guy was that got into my Twitter replies talking about, you think the Saints are going to beat the Packers?
I love whenever those turn up on the right side. I had a guy last year ripped me for picking the Falcons against his Panthers. Falcons won that game outright. Feels good. So congrats to you. And pin that to your Twitter feed.
Yeah, he got real quiet all of a sudden, huh?
They never seem to come back.
Well, what happened? We hung 37 on them. We didn't have Devontae Adams. Well, what happened, buddy? I hope you're listening to this podcast. This is the least you can do is give me a nice review and nice rating on this podcast, me and Eston, which is, I mean, come on. If you're going to talk shit, I love it. I do not get rattled. You want to get into my DMs or you want to get into my replies, chirp me. If I have a bad handicap, that's good and fine. But, hey, I got you. Leave me a nice review, homie. Come on.
Also, come with something better than, do you know Devontae Adams didn't play last year? Yeah, man.
Yeah. What do you think I do all day? Yeah, no, I knew.
Looked into that one. No, good for you. That was definitely your best hit of the, maybe not best, but
it was
most proud. Deserve to get the accolades for it anyway. Good on you, Saints. Not on them again this week. That's surprising. Anyway, we are running way long. You want to take us to the window?
Yeah.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
Here we are. We're at Going to the Window. This is where we lock in our best bets. Last week, I was 3-2. I lost at the Lions, even though I beat the closing line. I got them at 7.5. I gave them out at 7.5 in the podcast. Went back and listened to it. Took them at 7.5 in the contest. I was on the wrong side. The back door got there. So if you got it late at 8 or 8.5, you chopped or you won. So good thing for you. I won the Jets Panthers under 45. I won the teaser, the Dolphins plus 8.5 under 45 and 44.5 with the Eagles Falcons. I predicted a couple props. I bought the over on James Robinson, 68.5 rushing yards. I thought my buy price at 69.5. He went well under. And my buy price on Andy Dalton's passing yard prop was 210.5. It got listed as 212, so I went under. I'm going to stay away from the props this week. But my sides are the Chargers -3, the Eagles +3.5, and I'll give one more side out because I don't like a total as well, and I'm not giving props. I'll go with the Texans +12.5. Those are my three sides, Chargers -3, Eagles +3.5. Texans +12.5. 6-point teaser, I'm going Ravens +9.5. And I'm going to tease the total of the Panthers and Saints up to 50.5. And I'm going to go under there. That's my slip. What do you got on your slip, Eston?
Got four sides and a total. Rams -3.5. Browns -11.5. Cardinals -3.5. Chiefs -3.5. And Tennessee, Seattle under 54.5. Did 5 last week. Did 5 this week. Hope for the best.
You went 4-1 last week, baby. You're planning for the best. You're planning for the best.
We're rolling. We're gonna keep rolling. I'm gonna actually place these 5 bets and not the loser bets I placed last week.
And do us a favor, shout us out to shout us out on social media, share this podcast, leave us a nice review, leave us a nice rating. We killed it in week one. We've killed it in golf. We killed it in the NBA. We're giving away money here. And God damn it.
And the Lightning won the Stanley Cup.
And the Lightning won. We killed it on in every sport. We're killing it. And you know what? I'm doing NASCAR next year. I just decided.
Cool.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I just the momentum, and I got excited. You know,
a little swept up.
Yeah. You know what? I'm doing the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. No, I'm just kidding. But do us a favor, show us some love. It'll really help us rise the charts. We gotta pass some of these square sports betting podcasts. We're giving out winners. Some of these other schnooks are giving out losers. Show us some love. Also, you can listen or you can read all of our handicaps. Me, Esten, our great colleagues at sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. Show some love for our sponsor, Tipico Sportsbook, especially to all of our listeners out in Colorado and New Jersey. For Esten and I, thank you for streaming the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.